from the heart of Broadway here in historic downtown Cape Girardeau, where it's it feels like I haven't been on. I feel like we haven't done a show in a week, and I haven't. You have.
I have.
You were on Sunday.
I did.
But we didn't do Thursday. And when we get into the topic of the night and when we talk about the things we're going to talk about, you'll see why I can never take a day off again, because things happen. Things always happen whenever I'm not recording. So we'll get into that in a second. My name is Shannon Young. I am your host for tonight's show, this Mr. 100 and the Five-Star Man. I am Mr. 100, and we got the Five-Star Man down at the end of the table. Yes. Asa Gray, looking, rubbing his chest.
I'm tired. I don't feel great.
I don't feel the best. Like, I don't feel... There's nothing wrong with me. Mm-hmm. You just ever get it where you're just like, yeah, I really don't feel like it. You know?
I've been fighting a sore throat the last few days. Like, pretty much since Friday, I've had, like, a tickle.
Yeah.
That slowly turned into a cough.
Mm.
And then I woke up. I went to bed last night. When I woke up, like, 2 hours later, and my throat felt like it was on fire. Like, it hurt to swallow, and I'm like, I'm going to have to call in. Like, I'm going to have to go to the doctor. Like, I hope I don't have strep. It's going to be really annoying. Rolled over, went to sleep, woke up again a couple hours later, still felt like crap. Fell back asleep, woke up at, like, 5 this morning, and I was awake for, like, 5 minutes before I realized I don't feel crappy. Like, I still have the tickle, and I'm coughing, but it doesn't hurt to swallow anymore. Like, my throat doesn't feel like it's on fire.
Right.
So I was like, okay, well, let's just hope this carries over. And then my alarm went off so I could go to work, and I felt fine. I still just have – so I apologize in advance if you hear the sound of a cough drop or coughing in the distance, but
I try my hardest to. I try my hardest to avoid coughing, because every time I cough, that hernia that we talk about on the show just – kicks out more and more, and it gets to a point where it's really uncomfortable, like just super uncomfortable, and I don't like it, and I can only push it back into my guts so much, you know, before it does anything. Hey, also here tonight is Allie Hebert to my
right,
the producer.
Bringing that one back.
We got to find some role for you on the show.
Other than on-air talent?
Other than SAS representative.
SAS representative.
I hear they're hiring over at the White House if you want to get a job over there. They like them sassy.
I'm okay.
Yeah. I think we're all okay. I'll tell you who's not okay. And that's, like I said, I took Thursday off because, all right, let me rewind a little bit. We took Thursday off. We didn't do Podzilla After Dark because I didn't feel great. Lindsay was on her deathbed. A lot of people have been sick lately.
It's been hitting Cape hard.
It has. A lot of people have been doing it. I've been trying to avoid it. And so far I haven't gotten sick. There have been times that I've felt like I've come close, but I've managed to escape. But Thursday, Lindsay didn't feel great. I didn't feel great. And I had just got that Oculus Rift. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to take a me day and I'm going to go home and play the Oculus Rift and we just won't record tonight. So I missed Thursday. And God, since Thursday, when I think of all the things that have happened that I want to talk about, and I'm not going to talk about them too much on the show here just because I would like to keep it fun. I think we agreed a while back that we were going to try to keep this show fun as best we can. But here's the things that happened that we have not got to talk about. The Affordable Care Act being repealed and replaced. That passed through the House of Representatives, wasn't it?
It still has to go to the Senate.
Yeah,
so it hasn't officially been repealed. But
no, and from the looks of it, the Senate, it's going to have a tough time getting through there. And God, we all hope it does. Aside from that, James Comey fired today. The head of the FBI is gone after, you know, testifying against, it was a couple weeks ago, he testified about the Russia connection. And the big rumor is that he's building a case against the Trump administration over their collusion with Russia for the election. And now he's gone. Fired. That doesn't look shady.
Yeah.
Donald Trump let him go. And then, Big Black died. I just found out.
One of these things is not like the other.
I just found this out before I came on the show and it was one of those moments where I said, who's Big Black? And then I Googled Big Black, and I thought, this could be dangerous.
He was the only thing that made that terrible MTV show watchable.
Was it called Robin Black?
Robin Big.
Robin Big, yeah.
I think. I don't remember.
I don't know. I watched
show. I watched like 3 episodes of it. Same. I liked him.
Yeah. I can't stand that Rob. Was Dreerdeck or what's his name?
Like,
yeah. Doesn't he also host Ridiculousness?
Sure. I haven't watched anything on MTV in like a decade.
Also featuring Chanel West Coast. That's her name.
Wasn't she like the receptionist in one of those shows? And then they like, it's like, hey, she's funny.
She's not funny, to be fair. Yeah, but, you know, comedy's subjective. What's funny, like, I don't find, what's this guy you like? And I'm not trying to be insulting. You and CJ both liked him. I think CJ likes him more than you. Bo Burnham. Mm-hmm. I don't find Bo Burnham funny.
I liked his earlier stuff.
But I would never take away anyone's enjoyment of him because, like, I find Mr. Show funny. Mm-hmm. But I know a lot of people that don't find Mr. Show funny. I find Tim and Eric funny. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of people that don't find Tim and Eric funny. So it's all subjective.
Raise his hand.
Yeah, it's all subjective. I'll tell you, my favorite comedian that I've ever seen was Chris Rock, which might surprise a lot of people. But Chris Rock, he did the Bigger and Blacker special. And that's like my favorite all-time comedy special ever. It was on HBO. It was really funny. I've never been a fan of Dave Chappelle's comedy. We've talked about this on the show. Like his stand-up, mm-hmm. I just don't find it funny. I don't know why. He's funny, but he's not as funny as I think people say he is.
Right.
But that's just purely personal. You know, that's not taken away from Dave Chappelle. Obviously, he's a millionaire.
Right.
And, you know, I'm still got that. I still got that GoFundMe for the surgery going. So that's a, who's your favorite? What's your favorite stand-up?
I don't know. That's too hard of a question for, that's something I got to like do research on. George Carlin.
Yeah.
Is probably,
Mitch Hedberg.
This is going to sound terrible, but like, it's one of those things where I'm kind of glad he passed away fairly early. Like, not early in his career because he did a million things, but like, it's one of those things where a lot of comedians that I like, the more that they go on, the less I like them.
Yeah.
Like Louis Black. I loved Louis Black. Mm-hmm. Like ever since high school, I was a huge fan of his. But like the more I watch of him, the more I'm just like, okay.
I totally got Louis Black and Louis C.K. mixed up for a second.
Also loves Louis C.K. I haven't seen his new, they just put, well, not just.
Jesus.
They put a, all
right.
They put a new special of his up on Netflix I need to watch.
So I just got three people confused. At first, when you said Louis Black, I thought you meant Louis C.K. Mm-hmm. But who I thought was Louis C.K. was actually Richard Lewis. Have you ever watched Richard Lewis? I'm a big Richard Lewis fan.
I've seen bits, but I haven't seen like a whole set.
I always thought he was really funny. And I, you know, Audra does comedy. Mm-hmm. She does stand up and she's invited me to watch it a couple times. And I've told her before, like stand up comedy, it makes me nervous. Anytime I see somebody up doing a live performance, it always makes me nervous because I'm afraid that if things don't go their way, like I don't know how to respond. And mm-hmm. I get real awkward when things go bad. You know, I just kind of want to walk out and leave because I don't want to be there for the awkwardness. And
right.
I imagine that comedy clubs are just a bunch of assholes, like just making fun of the comedian. They're heckling them. There's that guy that does all the videos of him fighting hecklers. I don't remember his name. That I forget who showed it to me. I think it was Steven maybe, that he's really funny, but I couldn't deal with hecklers. That's why I'm glad we don't have like a message board for the show or anything. Mm-hmm. Cause the first person that posted, God, you guys suck. Why do you do this? I would cancel the show and go, he's that one guy. He's right. We're terrible. Allie, who's your favorite comedian? And why is it Jim Gaffigan?
What?
I do love Jim Gaffigan.
I do love Jim Gaffigan
the thing
too.
I honestly don't watch that much stand up comedy. So I don't really have a favorite.
Well, how the hell did you come across Bo Burnham?
YouTube.
Yeah.
He started as a YouTube star.
Because friends would show me his songs, because he does like, he writes his own songs that are comedy songs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And from that, it just kind of went on. And I actually have watched his special because I saw him on YouTube. And so he's one of the few that I've actually watched their comedy special. I've also watched, and oh gosh, I'm going to mispronounce his name because I'm tired.
This should be fun.
He's in Parks and Rec. I'm not even going to try.
Aziz Ansari?
Yes.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Nick Offerman.
I watched part of his. Mm-hmm. But I like...
Aziz?
Yeah. I'm too tired.
That was one we listened to.
It's okay.
To,
it's okay.
We listened to him... I feel like there was two times that we've listened to him pretty recently. Because I know we listened to him on the way to Indianapolis. I want to say we listened to him on the way to Indianapolis last year, too.
Yeah, I like his story about 50 Cent. At the restaurant where he has to have what a grapefruit is explained to him because he gets a grapefruit soda.
Because he thought he was getting a grape soda.
Yeah.
He was like, why isn't it purple?
Why isn't it purple? So he had to watch a grown man explain to another grown man what a grapefruit was while one of those grown men just didn't grasp the concept at all. Yeah, a grape is a fruit.
My dad used to watch comedy specials with me. It's one of the few things that we did together. And there got to be a time where, and I'm from kind of an urban area, and my use of the N-word starting with this show was always questionable. whenever I would say, well, I grew up around, like, that's what I said to people when I grew up. That's how I grew up. You know, that's what we said to each other. It took me a while to realize that, you know, it wasn't right. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so I was heavy into the urban culture and black comedians and stuff like that. And so my dad started to watch these black comedians with me. And my dad wasn't racist, I don't think. Like, he was a lot of things, but I don't think he was racist. There was one in particular we watched with Eddie Griffin. Mm-hmm. And I sat down to watch the Eddie Griffin special. And I thought it was funny at the time, because at the time I was like a teenager. And so anytime I heard someone cursing on TV, that was funny to me. Because right. I never, we just got
you
HBO.
You can't do that.
You can't do
You're
that.
You're not allowed to say that.
You're not allowed to say that on television. This particular one though. So my dad, this is like 1 a.m. I'm watching this on HBO. My dad comes in and sits down like he always does when I'm watching stuff. Now this was after he sat down and watched an episode of Oz with me. And when he sat down for Oz, it went right to a male oral sex scene, which he stared at me. Well, this time he sits down and Eddie Griffin's on there doing his thing. And he's talking about how he doesn't understand why women are lesbians. And I'm going to get real vulgar for just a second, because I need to quote what he said so you know why my dad was offended. So if you have sensitive ears, please turn, please just cover your heads for just 2 seconds, 5 seconds. So Eddie Griffin says, I feel stupid saying this. You eat her pussy, she eats your pussy. That's it. I can slice some dick in you. And the crowd's laughing their ass off, and I kind of smirk, and I look over at my dad. He was not smirking. My dad did not find that kind of comedy very funny. And that was the last time I got to watch HBO until I was old enough to watch it again. Took away my Mr. Show, too. That made me upset. But yeah, but the comedy is it's a weird thing to me. I feel like Charlie in that episode where he, like, his jokes are, you know, cheese is a very strange thing. That's my comedy. That's why I don't do stand-up. Mm-hmm. I have no material. People say they like to hear my stories, but the moment you get on stage, none of those stories will remember. Mm-hmm. I will just stare blankly into the audience, which is why we don't have an audience for this show.
Yep.
Plus, no one wants to watch it.
We have the peanut gallery eventually. Or occasionally.
Not right now, we don't.
No.
It's empty in here. It's my first time setting foot in the store in 5 days. This sucks.
I grew up with my great-grandma for the most part. Like, she... when my mom was at work, she would always watch me. So, like, over the summer, I would stay at her house, and then she would always pick me up after school. So I was there all the time. And one of the things that she always let me just watch the TV because she didn't really care. She always read the paper or was cooking or cleaning or, you know, being a productive adult. And I was just, like, sitting like a lump. But one of the things that I started to watch fairly young, like, I remember being, like, 7th, 8th grade and watching, like, Comedy Central Presents. Cause like in the morning, especially over the summer, like they didn't have a whole lot of original content.
No,
it was a lot of stand up. So yeah. And it was like the, you know, the 30-minute specials that they would do.
It was Comedy Central,
Comedy Remix. What was it called? It was something Remix. And what they would do is they would just take individual comedians from a bunch of different sets that they did, and like just, you know, so here's a Mitch Hedberg bit, here's a 3-minute Jim Gaffigan bit, here's 2 minutes of someone else. Like,
and it was like a best of.
Yeah, kind of. I really like that. And then, like, as I got older and I started to understand a lot more of it, because as a kid and a teenager, like, I was drawn to those kind of a little bit more vulgar, a little bit, you know, ooh, they're really pushing the line.
Yeah, because you didn't, this is as edgy. A kid, that blew your mind.
Yeah. And then as I got older, I started really liking a lot of the more, story driven people, like Mike Birbiglia, Jim Gaffigan, Jimmy Pardo is one of my favorites.
Yeah.
His crowd work is awesome. Yeah, there's just, there's so, like, that could be a show, but I wouldn't need to prepare for it.
It's a shame, because I like this topic. I really like John Panette. Mm-hmm. I was very sad when John Panette passed away. He was one of my favorite comedians. And what I liked about John Panette and guys like Jim Gaffigan and Sinbad were that...
My stepdad loved Sinbad.
Sinbad was great.
He loved Sinbad. Like, okay, so my stepdad watches, you know, he likes Westerns. He has no problem with, like, adult content, even a little bit. But he loved Sinbad because Sinbad was clean.
That's what I was to say. Yeah, I came to really appreciate the clean comedians, the ones that didn't have to rely on cursing or like really vulgar stories. Mm-hmm. We went to an anime panel years ago. I think it was Anime St. Louis. And they had a guy there who was a big voice actor. I don't remember his name. I want to say it's like Eric Vale, I think was his name. And if it's the other guy, because I always get the two confused, then Lindsay knows who I'm talking about, nobody else. But I think it was Eric Vale. But it was called, like, After Hours with Eric Vail or After Dark with Eric Vail. It was supposed to be like an uncensored chat with him in the audience. And Stephanie, who used to be on the Nerd Up show, you know, she really wanted to go. She was a big fan of Eric Vail. And I thought, well, this could be fun. You know, these guys, I'm sure they get sick of being characters from Italia or whatever, and they want to come on and just talk like a person. So we go in there, and it took 2 minutes for the subject to turn to like anal sex, and it never went away. Mm-hmm. It was an hour of the most vulgar, just how much he gets laid and how often he gets laid and how much money he has and how he does this and that. And I look over at Stephanie, she looks like
distraught.
Like that old saying, don't meet your heroes because they're never going to be what you think they are. That it was this. And yeah, I feel like that's such a crutch for people. And we use that crutch quite a bit, you know, when we first started, of just being vulgar and how far can we push the limit.
There's a show literally called After Dark.
Yeah, but I think that show has evolved nicely into just a still smart show where we can say the F word more.
Yeah.
It was Jesse's idea. It was all Jesse's idea. But yeah, I love the clean comedians. Jim Gaffigan. I know everybody knows him as the Hot Pocket.
Hot Pocket.
Yeah. But I think he's great. I think he's really funny. Mm-hmm. But I haven't seen a comedy special in... The last one I watched was actually the Chappelle one, the new one that Dalton was watching, and I just didn't... I don't know. Mm-hmm. Maybe I need to watch it again. Alone. Where I can not be judged.
I haven't seen it. I don't really have a whole lot of desire. After I've heard, like, I heard enough people talk about it that I'm like, yeah, I don't need to see
the content choices that he
made. Mm-hmm. I need to see the Louis C.K. one that's up. There's a, like, Netflix is really good about having.
They got some good comedy specials.
Mike Birbiglia, has his new one on there, and it's really good.
I've not watched it.
It's really good.
But that's where I watched the two John Panette specials was on Netflix. Mm-hmm. And I really, I mean, his jokes were about food. I can relate. Yeah. I like food. I don't drink. So whenever I hear comedians talk about, you know, going somewhere and getting drinks and stuff like that, like it makes no sense to me. I have no idea what they're talking about. There are half the shows on Travel Channel I can't watch because it involves alcohol. And I just don't, like, I'm not a part of that culture. And I'm not even dissing that culture. I'm just not part of it.
Right.
It's like if I started talking about Heroes of the Storm to someone just randomly, they don't know what the hell I'm talking about. They probably don't think it's stupid, but they just don't know.
Right.
So I have to pick and choose my specials very carefully of what I can actually comprehend. Mm-hmm. And I'm dumb. So I don't comprehend much.
I haven't seen him in a while.
Allie's shaking her head no.
Mm-hmm.
I remember because he had a show on Fox for a while that my stepdad also really liked. And it also had Stacey Keach in it, but Titus.
Oh, well, Christopher Titus?
Christopher Titus.
Yeah. I haven't heard from that guy forever.
I haven't either. He had the one special where he talked about how terrible his ex was and how wonderful his new wife is. And then a few years later, he had a new special about how terrible his new ex is. And it's just like, oh, it's like Blue October.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, oh, that's a bummer to hear about how proud you are of being sober. And then here we go.
Yeah. Did you ever watch Def Comedy Jam?
Yes.
I was a big fan of that back in the old day.
So I only got to watch it when it was like the censored, when Comedy Central
That's like watching John Wick on the USA Network.
Yeah, no.
That's terrible. I like Def Comedy Jam. HBO had some really good stand-up specials for the longest time before Netflix came along and Comedy Central. HBO had Sinbad, they had Seinfeld, which I saw one Jerry Seinfeld stand-up and I'm still confused. I remember thinking like, why is he popular? I just didn't get it.
I like him.
Maybe I would like him better now. Cause me now is completely different from me back then. Mm-hmm. I am a completely different person. See, Allie, as you get older, you can completely change your outlook on life and you choose different choices.
Yeah.
That sometimes don't merge, you know, very well with what you had chosen before. And then you have to start a new existence.
I like that HBO did a lot of, like, the comedians would do HBO exclusives. Like, they wouldn't just do DVDs.
Netflix.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Chris Gethard has one coming up that I really want to see.
On HBO?
Yeah.
I didn't know they were still doing it.
It's called Career Suicide, and it's Judd Apatow Presents.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, I like him a lot. He's really funny.
I liked HBO a lot. Mm-hmm. Like, that was the best channel growing up.
I mean, it still has a lot of really good stuff.
I haven't watched it in forever. Because, again, like, since I don't, with the advent of the internet, is that the right word?
Sure.
I'm tired.
I know what you mean.
with the internet becoming so popular and streaming services becoming so popular, I don't feel the need to go to HBO to watch movies anymore. So I don't have HBO.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and that's what a lot of people do now is just for its original content because, like, between Game of Thrones being incredibly popular.
Westworld.
True Detective. The first season of True Detective.
Westworld.
Silicon Valley, Westworld. I haven't seen Westworld yet.
I really want to see Westworld because I heard it's really, really good.
I've had enough stuff like talked about that in like headlines made of like, oh, the big twist of this, that I feel like I don't know of how much I would enjoy it. Because I know a little bit, but not a lot. And I feel like that's something you should really go in totally blind on.
Did you ever see the movie?
No.
I like the movie.
I don't know. I didn't even know it was a movie.
Yeah, I think it was a 70s movie, maybe an 80s movie. It had Yul Brynner and who plays Thanos? Is that Josh Brolin?
Yeah.
Okay, it was his dad, John Brolin. Huh. But yeah, there was a movie. It's a Crichton book.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I really like the movie, so I really want to see the show. When I was growing up, HBO pretty much only played sex. And I'm not joking. They had real sexes every other week.
I distinctly remember
Taxi Cab Confessions.
I distinctly remember being the horny, sad teenager, slash preteen. And like the one that HBO like free weekend, whenever you just had regular cable and, you know, we could watch HBO this one weekend, like seeing that there was a show called Real Sex.
Hells yeah.
And then it's just a bunch of ugly adults talking about the sex that they have with each other. And I'm just like, this isn't what I want.
It's not very erotic.
It's not.
But as a kid, I remember that was like the only place I could see, because I didn't have a computer at the time. So like that was my sex knowledge.
Right.
Was Real Sex on HBO.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Taxi Cab Confessions. They had like two specials on prostitutes. I don't remember the names of them. But I think that's what they based that Chappelle skit on with the Haters Ball. Because there was a special on HBO about that too. Yeah, HBO was awesome back then, and I don't know what it is now.
I mean, it's still like I said, there's a lot of really good stuff on there. Like there's movies that aren't on Netflix, it's the only place you can watch those digitally. That's where I watched the Tom Cruise movie. They just named the sequel Edge of Tomorrow.
There's a sequel?
Yeah.
Where he keeps like going back in time.
It's called like Live, Die, Repeat and Repeat. I think that's what it's called. I'll look it up.
I did not know they were making
it. I actually fell asleep in the middle of that movie. So
I've
never
seen it.
I missed a solid like 30. I watched like I saw like the first 45 minutes, and then I missed like storyline purposes like 20 minutes, and then I woke up for the finale and I'm like, I don't understand what's happening anymore.
A bunch of things repeat.
It's the same.
No, I see. I saw all of that. I fell asleep during the part where they kept moving forward.
Oh,
and like,
wow.
Like it's like days go by instead of just the same like few hours over mm-hmm. and over.
Tom Cruise hit a bunch of movies where like I've seen them, but I can't tell you a single thing about them. Like Jack Reacher, Collateral. Was he in Collateral Damage? Whatever movie he was in with Jamie Foxx. I don't remember the name of it. And Elysium. I don't remember anything about those movies at all. All I know, and he's in the new Mummy movie. The third or fourth remake. Yeah, exactly. My mummy had Brendan Fraser.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. But I will give Tom Cruise credit for looking like he's 35 when he's 62, I think. He's older. But my God, does he look good. And if that's what Scientology does for you.
Nope. They will. So we make the joke on Nerd Up about Disney suing us.
We can't say.
We, no.
Mm-mm. Can't talk about
that.
We're
going to bleep that. Oh. mark the time.
I didn't say anything bad. I was actually going to give an endorsement.
Matter. It doesn't matter if you said anything bad or not. You just said the name. You think the NSA cares about what we say?
I personally love Trump.
We need to go back and do the intro as John Smith, and Jane Smith.
Which one is she?
Like South Park. Pick.
Allie, what kind of comedy do you like? Since we're on a comedy roll. A comedy roll sounds delicious right now.
Okay, so apparently it's just called Live, Die, Repeat.
But that was the name of the first one.
They changed the name of the first one. To Live, Die, Repeat.
Did they?
Yeah.
I've only ever known it as Edge of Tomorrow.
Because I think it's based on a book, and the book was called Live, Die, Repeat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Oh, yep. So, and we'll be called Live, Die, Repeat, and Repeat.
Well, hopefully they come up with a better name than that.
Hopefully.
Live, Die, Repeat, and Repeat.
Yep.
You know Pete and Repeat? Allie, what kind of comedy do you like? I want to know. Actually, I know what kind of comedy you like.
The funny kind? I don't know.
I disagree.
Oh, thanks.
You like Grace Helbig?
You like Grace Helbig, too.
Yeah, but
I haven't watched Grace Helbig in a long time,
I'm a boy.
Okay.
I just recently went through and watched a bunch of her, like, between her and Mamrie and Hannah, like, when they have each other on their shows and mm-hmm. do, like, different weird little, like, quizzes and games. Yeah. I just watched a bunch of those,
we
like,
watched
in the last
the
few weeks.
Watched the movie they did.
Oh, Dynamo One. Girl and...
Dyna One Girl of, and yeah. Elektra Woman or
something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, watch that. I've seen their other Camp Dakota, which actually has all three of them. And then they also have Dirty 30, which I haven't seen.
Which I think that might be more of a stand-up, like, spoken word thing.
No, I could it's be. An actual, like, movie.
It's a movie?
Yeah.
I thought they were doing something. Maybe that was, like, a tour they were doing.
They do tours and stuff all the time.
Okay, that's probably what I'm thinking of.
Mm-hmm.
But. I only know the one. Is Hannah the girl that does Drunk Kitchen?
Hannah Hart? Yes. She used to.
She does a lot more now.
She does, like, she started, like, that's how she got popular on YouTube was the My Drunk Kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And the last few years, she still would do them, but they're becoming more and more infrequent. She's also getting less and less drunk.
I think we talked about this before, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because people are there's
which is fine because now she does like inspirational stuff and not quite like motivational speaker, but she gives a really positive message. She also wrote a book, so she wrote her My Drunk Kitchen cookbook, but now she actually has a book called Buffering that's actually really good. I've heard.
I bought Allie Grace Helbig's book.
One of her books, yeah.
I don't have a book. You'd think I'd have one by now. and YouTube. We talked about last week because of that whole Daddy of Five guy.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard any updates on that?
No.
I'm just curious because last I heard that the kids got taken away. You said that they might have been on the run. I was really hoping that was true so they would go to jail forever, but I don't think anything came from that.
I haven't heard anything like groundbreaking like that. Although I saw a headline. I didn't like, so I don't even pay attention to this, but apparently, YouTube has issued an apology to a lot of people.
Yeah,
like about content creators about their way their ad system is. I don't know if that means it's going, if they're changing anything or if they're just like, hey, well, we're sorry, but you broke now.
We watched a Philip DeFranco.
Yes. I think it's a little bit of both because I think like Philip DeFranco said, he's curious to see what happens, but it's still enough to scare me away from YouTube. Like, I know we bragged about how much we were going to do YouTube videos for a while,
mm-hmm.
and I still would love to do like visual content.
No,
I still want to do like YouTube.
I don't think there's a problem with doing YouTube. It's
unless we want to make money on it.
And I never planned on monetizing anything.
I don't think that's what our goal. I don't think our goal is to make money off of YouTube. I think our goal is to create stuff for YouTube.
Yeah, but at some point, I think it's going to be okay if we made some money off our creation.
Oh no, it would be fine, but that's not our goal.
Like Philip DeFranco, whenever this first came out, I did see a segment of his video where he said, yes, this sucks, but I always, at least for my channel, I've found ways to make sure I can float without the advertisement money.
Wait, a lot of them have gone to Twitch.
There's Twitch. There's also, like, he sells merchandise, and that's where most of the money comes from.
Hey, we've got t-shirts.
Yeah.
Nobody wants them, but we've got them.
It's because they're expensive.
They're like $30 a t-shirt.
Yeah.
Who the hell wants to pay $30 a t-shirt? Unless you're at like Coachella or something.
Right.
Which I don't even know what that is.
It's a music festival.
Is it? Because as far as I know, it's just a festival where a bunch of young celebrities go to drink and party.
There's also music in the background.
So I've never heard of a single artist appearing at Coachella. Whenever I go to websites, I'm dead serious. Like, I'm not trying to be funny. When I go, cause I frequent TMZ sometimes just because, like, I'm a trash bird like everybody else. I want to see trash news occasionally. So I'll go to TMZ occasionally, or it'll be on my Google feed, my Facebook feed. And it'll always say, see what Paris Hilton wore at Coachella. See what the Kardashians did at Coachella. Never once does it say, see who performed at Coachella.
I think a few years ago, 21 Pilots performed at Coachella.
Because that's not where the money is. And also that's not like breaking news.
Yeah.
Coachella announces their lineup months ahead of time. So everyone knows who's.
I've been to one concert.
You
in
also
my life.
Have to pay attention to it because it's one of those things that you, if you're interested in it, you go and find out. Like Warped Tour, most people that are interested in Warped Tour know who's gonna be at Warped Tour.
You've been to Warped Tour, haven't you?
I've been to it twice. Yes.
It'd be like watching.
Ace, have you been to Warped Tour?
No.
Me neither.
I've been to Bonnaroo, but
have you been to Bonnaroo?
No.
Have you seen Kansas in concert?
No.
Gotcha.
It'd be like on Monday, like when, so like, oh, look who was at front row at WrestleMania. They're not talking about who was performing at WrestleMania because everyone knows who was performing at WrestleMania. Who wants to know? That's not the attention grabbing headline. It's the same thing with Coachella.
I gotcha. That makes sense.
Here's what Kim Kardashian was wearing while Avett Brothers played. I don't think they would be at Coachella.
I don't know who they are.
Really?
No.
Dalton's sad now.
Yeah.
there's a lot of artists that you guys mentioned that I'm just in the dark on. Like, God, please forgive me if I'm saying this wrong. Aloe Black.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who Aloe Black is. I don't know who Chris Stapleton is.
I also don't know who that is, but that's a,
apparently that was a big deal.
Mm-hmm. Country music.
Is it country music?
That's why I don't know.
Was it Big Lee there?
He might have been.
Yeah, because Big Lee said that he met Chris Stapleton.
I think Lee just likes music, though.
He goes to concerts everywhere. I swear to God, every time I look at his Facebook, he's off to a new city.
I know he just met Seether. I think that's kind of cool. Yeah. I like Seether. Seether's one of those bands where, for me, it's weird because probably started in high school, every time they would have a new song come on the radio, I'd be like, oh, I really like that song. But I would never, like, buy a CD for whatever reason until probably sometime when I was at SEMO and I got Spotify. And I was able to go back and, like, listen to their older stuff. And I was like, I like everything that they've done at this point. It's been a while since I've, like, gone back and re-listened to it. So that might have changed. I still love their cover of Careless Whisper.
Oh, yeah. The George Michael song.
Yeah.
I like it better than the George Michael version. I really like the George Michael version. Mm-hmm. I really like Seether, too. I really like the song that they did with Amy Lee, Broken.
Yeah.
Everybody likes that song, though, so that's nothing new.
That was one that I feel like for me, I probably overplayed it for myself on top of just it was the biggest song on the radio.
It was everywhere. And they had a new song that came out last year, I think, that I really, really loved. And do you remember the name of it? The one where it's like... God.
I never found out about the song that I couldn't get out of my head.
You know what's wrong with the one day. The Secrets That You Pray For... Because we deserve so much more.
The fire.
No.
I don't know.
The fire.
Nobody praying for me.
No, it's the other big song from that. That was the first single they had from it.
Oh God.
Is it Saved? No, it's not Saved Today because I'm thinking Saved Tonight.
Fight the Break of Dawn.
Yeah. God damn it.
I don't know.
Eagle Eye Cherries. I'm gonna have to find out the name of the song or I'm gonna go crazy.
Yeah, I don't know.
Just start naming them off.
Do you know which album it was from?
It was the same album that Nobody Praying for Me or whatever.
Okay, so that was one of their first ones. It looks like. See You at the Bottom.
No.
Same Damn Life.
Nope.
Words as Weapons.
Nope.
My Disaster.
Nope.
Crash.
Nope.
Suffer It All. Watch
Nope.
Me Drown.
Nope.
Keep the Dogs at Bay. Save Today.
Okay, it is Save Today.
So it is Save Today. Okay.
Yeah. Well.
Of course, it was the last song on that album.
That's the best song. And I can go back. Or when I say that Kansas is the only group I ever saw in concert, that's true. But I actually did buy tickets to another concert that never happened. I think it was supposed to be in Carbondale, and it was Seether, Finger 11, Evanescence, and one other band, but I can't remember the other band, but it was another really good one. Mm-hmm. It may have been Dillinger Escape Plan, but I don't think it was. But they canceled the concert a couple weeks before it happened.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And I always heard, and I don't know if this is true, that the reason they canceled it was because the guy from Seether, I don't know his name, was dating Amy Lee, and they broke up, and something happened with that. I know they were dating, because Broken, and then that song off of Evanescence's second album of... Call Me When You're Sober based on the guy from Seether, on her relationship with him. Yeah. But yeah, I was really bummed that I missed that concert because I love Finger 11. I loved Evanescence's one album.
Fallen
was a great album.
That was one that's like, yeah, the like one or two big songs from it I liked, but I couldn't go any.
Of Evanescence?
Yeah. No, I never went any deeper with them.
That Fallen album, like I listened to every song on that. I loved every song. Every other album since then, there's been one or two songs like Call Me When You're Sober or Snow White Queen, stuff like that, that I'm like, oh, that's a
How
good song.
How many more have they done?
I think they've done four or five albums, but. So
yeah,
and this isn't like snarky music snob. This is just me not paying attention. I legitimately thought they had two and were like done.
No, well,
I kind of did too.
Well, they did the first album, Fallen, which was really popular. You know, Bring Me to Life and My Immortal, partially because of the Daredevil soundtrack because they were all over that. And then their lead guitarist Ben Moody left the band. So he left after that album. And I don't even think that was their first album. That was just their first big album.
Really big
that
one.
Was the one that made them. Mm-hmm. Like My Chemical Romance, I thought the one with I'm Not Okay was their first album. Mm-hmm. I think it's like their 20th.
They have a lot of albums.
But yeah, Ben Moody left, and then I never liked the band after that, really.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know. It wasn't the same.
Like, I mean, and I say that as someone who loves Yellow Card, and there's people, like, I think it was either Hunter or Cody, I don't remember, who was like, I didn't know they even did anything after Ocean Avenue.
Right.
And I was like, no, they did, and it was great.
The Lights and Sounds.
Lights and Sounds were so good.
Paper walls.
Yeah. Love Paper Walls. I completely understand it. But Yellow Card's the same way where, like, Ocean Avenue wasn't their first album. It was their first album with their new singer.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, that band, it's the old philosophy question of if you remove a piece of wood from a ship and move it over here, and you replace that piece, and you do that with each individual piece over time until you have a whole new ship, which one is the original ship?
Mm-hmm.
It's Yellow Card is that band.
Because Yellow Card is that ship.
Except for their drummer. Their drummer was the longest lasting member which because he was amazing. I can't remember his name. Until I think he left before their last album, but I know he left before their, like, their final tour, because they just played their last show not too long ago.
And they ended their career the same year as Motion City Soundtrack. Mm-hmm. Another one that I'm a big fan of. And it's another one where I know a lot of people that didn't know, myself included, that they did anything past, like, Commit This to Memory.
Right.
Because I never heard it. But yeah, they had like five albums out after that, and it, some of it's good.
Mm-hmm. I think it partly has to do with their record deals, because there are some record companies that don't have deals with radio.
Yeah.
Like, well, and, All Time Low, they had, they were with Hopeless Records, and they are again. But for one album, they switched records because they felt like they needed that radio deal. And as they were in with that, the new record company, they realized that they were more, they saw All Time Low as money instead of like a band. And so they went back to Hopeless, but ever since then, they kind of had that following that heard them on the radio. Mm-hmm. And I, yeah.
It was like that with Bone Thugs and Harmony too. They did, like two or three albums under, I want to say Ruthless Records. I get Ruthless and Death Row mixed up a lot, but I think it was Ruthless. But then Eazy-E died, and they tried their hardest to get off that record label because his wife took over and they hated her. But after they got off the label, like, you never heard anything from them again until a couple years ago when they came out with that really big single, I Tried. And that kind of reignited their career, which is good because I really like Bone Thugs and Harmony. It's one of my favorite bands. But yeah, you see a lot of bands, they'll leave their label and you just don't hear from them again.
And Yellow Card, and we talked about, I think I mentioned this, but I don't know if I put, just put it in the group chat or if it was on the show, but Yellow Card actually was in a lawsuit with their record label. So for like Paper Walls and Lights and Sounds, the record label's like, okay, yeah, we'll put out their album. We will do nothing to promote it.
Yeah.
So here you go.
Yeah.
And so they got totally buried. Like, I didn't know they had a new album coming out. It was on my senior trip that we went to like a Barnes & Noble or something, just as we were killing time, like walking through a mall. And I saw that there was a new Yellow Card album, and I was like, ooh, I didn't know this was happening.
They're still making music.
I love this. Yeah. Put it in my CD player, because I had one.
You can go back and listen to any of those old Marvel soundtracks, and just about every band that's on it, I became a huge fan of.
Mm-hmm.
Like Finger Eleven.
That Spider-Man 2 one.
Spider-Man 1, 2, and 3. I thought all three of them were really good.
2 was my favorite, but that also was the one that had Yellow Card on it, so I was very heavily biased.
I really like the Daredevil soundtrack. I think that's like the best superhero, like, licensed soundtrack. And that had one of my favorite bands on it, which I do believe, and please look it up, I'm dead serious, because I need to know this question, the answer to this. Did Autopilot Off ever have another album other than Autopilot Off? Because I first heard them on SSX3, they had the song Clockwork, and I loved that song. And then I saw they were on the Daredevil soundtrack, so I got that. I think they were on one of the Spider-Man soundtracks, but I may be wrong. And then I got the Autopilot Off album, and it's one of my favorite of all time albums ever. But I don't think they ever put anything else out other than Autopilot Off.
It looks like on Spotify there is one album in 2004 called Make a Sound.
Yeah, Make a Sound. That's what it was, not Autopilot Off. I don't know why I thought it was...
self-titled.
Is that the one that has, if you can look on there, it has Clockwork and The 12th Day and songs like that on it?
Probably. Give me one second, because if they...
Because I'm pretty sure I'm right, but...
So, Make a Sound, Clockwork, Blind Truth, I Know You're Waiting, 12th Day, Voice in the Dark, What I Want.
So I think that's the only CD they ever put out. And if you've never heard Autopilot Off, do yourself a favor. Go to Spotify and listen to the album, because it's really good. Mm-hmm. I love them. And they never did anything else.
I don't remember which one it was, but I know... No, it wasn't Daredevil. It was Punisher that had Kane's theme song by Finger Eleven.
Yep.
Slow Chemical. For no reason.
Yeah.
Like, no reason at all.
Not in the movie.
Not in the movie. Like, in
based
that,
on nothing.
And that song wasn't even released by WWE at any point, except for, like, I think they had one forcible entry, that it was like the deluxe version.
It
that
was would
the
have, bonus
that
song.
Had a version of it.
Right.
But it wasn't on any of their just, like, straight up WWE music.
Yeah.
And then, what was the, was it the first Spider-Man that had Hero?
By it Chad was Kroger and Chad Josie Kroger, Scott.
The guy from, it was Saliva and Nickelback.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the first one.
Okay.
Which,
I love that song. That song is, that, like, and I know, they always get crapped on, but, like, that song is greater than, like, whatever the phrase is, like, it's greater than the sum of its parts.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no reason it should be, or I should like it as much as I do.
I really like Saliva, and I really like Nickelback. Mm-hmm. I am unapologetic. I like them both.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of people, I think most people will give Saliva a pass as just kind of harmless.
Right.
But there is an active dislike for Nickelback.
Nickelback is offensive to people for
and
some
reason.
I don't
understand that. Like, I really like that the new single of theirs, Feed the Machine. That's a good song.
There's also a lot of bad songs.
I don't listen to them.
Well, and it's always like, I mean, like we've talked about it before. It's one of those things where it's just like, they get real samey.
Yeah.
Which mm-hmm. I like, which I understand. I am a total hypocrite. Dalton and I talked about this on Saturday on the way to Stride. I like Mumford & Sons a mm-hmm. lot. And if you play one song from Mumford & Sons' first album and one from their second album, and you ask me to tell which one is which, the only chance that I have at that is if I remember which songs are on which album. Right. Because they, like, they took it to heart when they wrote in their yearbook, "Don't change."
Yeah, there's a YouTube video, I think, where they play, like, every major Nickelback song at the same time, mm-hmm. and they all just kind of flow together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just creepy and kind of awesome. Did you know that that song, Hero, was actually meant for Smallville?
Really?
Yeah, and for whatever reason, they didn't use it with Smallville. I don't remember the reason why, and instead they put it on the Spider-Man soundtrack.
Huh.
And it became a huge hit. In full disclosure, I never watched Smallville.
I didn't either.
I didn't know.
Smallville, all right, so if you were pissed off at Daredevil and Daredevil Season 2 because Daredevil didn't get his outfit till the very last episode and the Punisher didn't get his outfit till the very last episode, if you were upset by that, don't watch Smallville. He doesn't get that damn Superman outfit until the last episode of the last season.
Which, I'm going to defend that only in the sense that Smallville was never supposed to be a story about Superman.
It was
a story about Smallville and Clark Kent growing up and eventually, like...
becoming.
That said, I don't care about Superman at all, so I'm definitely not going to watch an origin story. Like, I'm struggling to get through Supergirl right now. Jesse assures me that the second season is a lot better.
Right.
But, it's a hard watch right now.
As a Superman fan, mm-hmm. I really didn't like the things they did in Smallville. Like, for a while, he had an all-black outfit with an S on it. He's basically Superman. Just give him the damn outfit. Mm-hmm. Let him be Superman. Like, I want to see Superman. And then they never did anything with it after that. You know, like, they did the movies, which everyone thought, okay, maybe this will be based on Smallville, and now you've got this backstory for the character already. They completely rebooted it with Henry Cavill, who... I still don't like his Superman. I don't think it's his fault. It's the way they've written Superman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just don't like his Superman. I just can't get into it. It's too dark. It's too... like, dude, let the dude lighten up a little bit. He's Superman.
Maybe once he comes back from the dead, he'll...
I don't think that's going to happen. I don't know. Medical research, that's not possible. When you're dead, you're dead. From what I understand. Injustice comes out next week.
I'm so excited. I'm so
excited.
What
was that?
I don't know.
Did you say wrong?
No, I said oh.
It was like, Allie's not excited about this at all.
The one thing she feigns excitement for on the show when it's that. None of our jokes or anything.
Right.
Yeah, I watched Everything You Need to Know About Injustice today mm-hmm. For the release next week, and it looks really, really good. The fact that you can pick different factions sounds really cool.
Which you could do in Mortal Kombat X, they just didn't mean anything.
But I think in this, it actually affects the storyline.
I doubt it.
From the way they made it sound.
Like, unless they do, like, a branching storyline, because what they did in Mortal Kombat X is you picked your affiliation for your faction.
Mm-hmm. Which really did nothing.
But it did nothing except for the weekly, like, challenges, and
Whoever my faction.
Whoever's faction. Well, it ended up being, like, one faction, I think, just steamrolled it after a couple, once the casual people kind of started dropping off.
Yeah.
It just was like everyone just kind of flocked to the same faction because it was the one that was winning all the time.
Yep.
Because
I think it was the Lin Kuei or whatever.
I think.
Or Black Lotus.
Special Forces were running it for a while.
Were they? Because that's the one I was in. That's awesome.
But so, and then they had different like battles and challenges and whatever team does more. I'm assuming it's going to be something similar unless they do like a branching story where there's going to be multiple playthroughs, which wouldn't surprise me.
That'd be awesome.
With the way that they've been hyping up the story mode.
Yes.
And
you can have guilds in this one.
Really?
Yeah. As weird as that is.
Oh yeah. No. I did see that. Yeah. So, you know, we can start that because I know Jesse's getting it. Dalton's getting it. I'm getting it. I have a couple friends at, Red Lobster that are getting it. Are you getting it?
Yeah.
You stoked?
I just don't know what system I want to get it on. You guys are getting it on Xbox, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also been talking about doing something with your Xbox, though.
Exactly. And I thought about getting it for PC, but...
Well, I wouldn't recommend that.
Yeah, they never have a good track record.
I wouldn't recommend that. Especially if Warner Brothers is having NetherRealm Studios get a third party to...
Again.
Do the PC port again.
I want to see you guys play it first because pretty much there's only like three or four characters I really want to play as. I want to play as Supergirl. I've always been a big fan of Supergirl, mm-hmm. which you would think I would watch the Supergirl show because I am such a big fan of Supergirl. But there's just something about it that makes me not want to watch it. It's like do you remember a very little known show that came out in the 90s called Birds of Prey? Do you remember that show?
No.
It was about Huntress Oracle and Black Canary, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And it was right, I don't remember which movie it was right after, but it was basically, Joker kills, or it's after Joker shoots Barbara Gordon. So she's Oracle.
Becomes Oracle.
And then someone kills Selina Kyle and Batman leaves Gotham because he can't handle it, I guess. And then those three kind of take over the mantle. And eventually the bad guys reveal to be Harley Quinn,
mm-hmm.
who's trying to, break Joker out.
Spoilers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. If you can find the damn show, good luck. Cause I think it was a WB show. It was before Smallville.
Mm-hmm.
It was before all of the big superhero shows came on. It was one of the first.
Yeah.
And nobody watched it. It lasted like 13 episodes. But, what was the point of this?
You are running.
Where was I going?
Why you? Why you didn't watch Supergirl?
Oh, it reminds me of that show.
Okay.
I guess it would have been just the short way of saying it. Is it reminds me of that show, and I don't know. I don't like superhero shows.
For me,
they
for
always
me,
bother me.
For me, it's at least the first season. It's everything that they do, either the Flash or Arrow did way better, and it's a lot of retreading very similar concepts.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. It's just except there's an added bonus of just like really ham-fisted girl power.
Yeah, that's the thing that scares me away. I think.
And
I have nothing against girl power.
No,
but,
yeah, which it's fine. But when it's like
when
every
it's so corny,
every sort of sentimental interaction is there's a backdrop to a female version of a song that's being like a popular song. Just like, all right, I get it. Like,
you can literally see them like hitting you in the face.
It's like
it.
This has to be what every girl feels watching every other piece of superhero media. And I'm just like, yeah,
Nickelback again, huh? Heroes playing again,
power rock, yeah.
Speaking of superheroes, all right. So you saw Guardians of the Galaxy, right?
I did.
Volume 2. Mm-hmm. Okay. You guys talked about it on Nerd Up, but I didn't get to talk about it.
Is this like the last part of the show?
Yes.
Okay, because we're going to go ahead and just say right now.
Yes, that's where I was getting at.
Okay.
We got about 13 minutes left.
Mm-hmm.
Full spoilers ahead. We're not even going to pretend. If you want to catch the spoiler-free review of it, listen to Nerd Up on Sunday because you guys did a spoiler-free review.
We did.
Then you got into spoilers. So please turn the show off now if you have not seen Guardians of the Galaxy 2, and we'll be back tomorrow with Pro Wrestling Unscripted.
Yes. I'm excited for tomorrow, by the way.
I was giving it a pause.
Okay, here's the pause.
Dramatic pause.
Okay.
I was going to see how long we'd take it.
No.
That'd no, that'd be
okay.
bad.
So when I saw Guardians of the Galaxy 2, by the way, bye, Hunter, if you're still listening. You shouldn't be.
Stop Shame
it.
On you.
Shame, because I know you haven't seen the movie yet. When I watched it, especially the last 30 minutes of it, my first thought was, oh, hell, if I'm choking back tears, I hope Ace is okay. Because that entire ending with Yondu broke my heart into 1,000 pieces.
I don't like it.
I liked it like cinematically.
The more that I think about it and the more that I realize it kind of hit me, like the less I like it, but that's for a whole other reason that we're not getting into.
Yeah.
Obviously not the same feelings, but mm-hmm. I kind of had similar just sentiments. And when I left the theater, I was torn because I thought it was great from a storyline perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Like his death was so meaningful
mm-hmm.
and Yondu became the central character of Guardians of the Galaxy for 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And suddenly he became, everything just made sense. It was important. The way they did it was gorgeous.
Yeah.
The Ravagers coming and shooting off fireworks.
The Ravager funeral was awesome.
Mm-hmm. Them playing that goddamn Cat Stevens song.
Mm-hmm.
Like all of it was perfect. Like I could not think of a better ending for a character.
Yeah.
Like they gave, I think I told this to Lindsay that, you know, in wrestling we have a term putting over.
Mm-hmm.
They put over Yondu huge.
Yeah.
This was Brock
Lesnar. Except now we're not getting that payoff.
No.
That big return payoff.
This was his payoff.
Yeah.
But at the same time when I left the theater, I was so sad. Like mm-hmm. legitimately depressed.
Yeah.
Like actually depressed. I sat there for hours after the movie. I've never been affected by a Marvel movie like that, especially.
No, yeah.
I'm not affected by normal movies that much. There was something about the way they wrote it and the way they did it where everything just came together and made the perfect ending. And I don't know. What did you think?
I know
everybody loves the movie. The movie was great. It was incredible.
It was really great.
But the last 30 minutes made that movie for me.
The more that I think about it, the more that I'm settling on the fact that I liked the first movie better.
Really?
Because the first movie didn't have anything that I didn't like. Every part of that movie I enjoyed. And while there were definitely parts of Guardians 2 that I liked better than in Guardians 1, there were a couple of things that I just flat out didn't enjoy.
Like what?
I'm sorry, Allie.
Baby Groot.
Was way too much Baby Groot. And I very much didn't like the idea that he did revert back to baby.
Well, Allie has the theory of this because I said the same thing.
Because in the end of Guardians 1, we don't see whenever Rocket's holding what is left of Groot.
Mm-hmm.
It's literally just a stick.
Right.
It's not an actual, it does not in any way seem like an actual being. So to me, that makes it seem like he was actually reborn.
And that's fine. And like, I understand that it makes sense. I just didn't like it.
I agree. I don't know if she does, but I would rather it had been the same Groot, just smaller and cute. Yeah,
that's what I was hoping. That's what, cause Jesse and I had like talked about it. And we mentioned this on Nerd Up too, but like we talked about as we were seeing the trailers, like, boy, I really hope it's not a baby Groot. It should just be Groot, but he's smaller.
Small, chibi Groot. Yeah.
And it was because there's a lot of it was really, it was a joke that just went on too long. Like the button lasted too long for me. See, they did a good job of padding it out with having Star-Lord go and ask like everybody else. But there's all that stuff going on outside. I'd rather see that. It's the same thing with the opening scene.
Yeah.
Yeah, Baby Groot's cute for 45 seconds. I don't need a full 2.5 minute thing while a giant space battle is happening.
Honestly, the first part's the only part I didn't like about the movie.
And then I also really wasn't the him going to find the prototype. That was another one that like that lasted.
It went on a little long, but
this is personal. Just personal taste. Yeah. Like I'm not saying it was bad. It's just I didn't enjoy it. In the first movie, there just wasn't anything that I had those feelings about.
So I'm the odd duck that I posted this on Facebook that I liked the first movie, but I didn't love it as much as everybody else did. Everybody else went nuts for it, and I remember thinking I liked the movie. Like it was a good movie, but it had no emotional weight.
Mm-hmm.
The characters were all, they weren't one dimensional, but it was very much a comic book movie. You know, it was a lot of action. I didn't like the characters themselves. Like they were just kind of bland to me. And maybe I need to watch it again because I think the second movie put the first one in a better perspective for me.
Mm-hmm.
But the second one, I can pick out so many parts of that movie that on an emotional level really hit home. Not so much Gamora and Nebula. I'm still really not interested in that, but I thought they did it pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
Other than the ending, which, again, if you've seen the movie, is a 30-minute drawn-out funeral for Yondu.
Yep.
And it is the most painful thing I've seen in a long time, which is something to say about a Marvel movie about a space pirate.
Right.
Let that sink in. But there was a scene with Batista as Drax where he's talking about his daughter and how he used to take her out to the lake, and Mantis touches him. And he's just standing there, sitting there stoically staring forward. Mm-hmm. And she just bursts into tears immediately because she can feel the emotion.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
That was the
because
one.
That first movie, he talked about his family being dead and all that. But it was just more of a rage, you know, I'll kill everything. Mm-hmm. This really felt like I felt the character's pain. And that's really good.
That was the one that I mentioned last night specifically.
Yeah.
Was just her just having that breakdown like as soon as he touches her or as soon as she touches him.
Because Drax... In the first movie, I don't think they played it up as much, but Drax is in so much pain over losing his family.
And I think the reason that it got me more this time was because he was played as such a comedy character in this movie.
Yeah.
As opposed to just that kind of like rage-filled badass that Drax is, that it really kind of was a good counterbalance to all of the hysterical laughter and sensitive nipples.
Right. Yeah, it added layers to his character. Like, there were so many layers added to the characters in this movie. I can't think of another Marvel movie that has as many layers for their characters as the Guardians of the Galaxy do. Each one of them. And every single character had their own story in that movie.
I would make the argument of Civil War. I'm willing to admit that I could lose that argument pretty easily.
Mm-hmm.
But the way that they brought everybody in, and I know a lot of people didn't like it in the sense that, like, how easily Iron Man was swayed to like be to want to like fight and kill Cap and Bucky. The headcanon that I hold and the way that I interpret it, it made a lot of sense.
I feel like if you've lost a parent, if you miss a parent, if you see something like that, and I'm not trying to tell anybody that they don't know how pain feels, but if you miss a parent and you put yourself in those character shoes of this is what happened to my family, you were the reason that they're gone, you would react the same way as Iron Man did. Or as Star-Lord did in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Another one of my favorite parts is the moment Ego says, it killed me to have to put that thing in your mother's head.
Mm-hmm.
he just blasts him to pieces, knowing that it won't really do anything. That's just how much he loved his mother. That it's just amazing that what they did with Guardians of the Galaxy 2. Yeah. I can't recommend it.
It was also a beautiful movie. Like one of the things I talked about on Sunday was the scene where he was like reconstructing himself and walking down the stairs and he starts as the skeleton and then slowly starts to form. Like, I loved that. That was like
so many parts of the movie I just loved. Mm-hmm. When they killed Yondu's crew and dragged them out, threw them out into space while Yondu had to sit there and watch.
That was, and him just like watch, like I still didn't understand what Yondu was, cause when Nebula shot him and that thing exploded, I assumed it was like, wait, is Yondu a robot?
Right.
Cause is he dead now? Like, what just happened? And then he had his eyes open, but I couldn't tell if he was breathing, cause he was just like sitting there. I was like, is he powered down? I don't get it. But then like when he actually looked up at the last guy, it was just like, oh no.
It's just suffering.
Yeah. That's just.
And that made him killing the entire ship so satisfying.
And like I said on Sunday, I was worried that it was going to just be like the, oh, look, we can top the first movie. Here's the exact same thing, but bigger. It walked that line for me, but it didn't cross it at all because it was so justified and it just felt so good to see. Yeah. And it was also just awesome, especially when they added in Rocket just shooting through the walls
and Groot chasing the one guy down.
That happened.
It was funny. I thought it was funny. And I looked at Allie and I was like, do you condone this toddler murdering someone? And she just laughed. She's like, it's Groot.
It was the same thing as like watching Chucky as an adult. Like, why are you scared of him now?
Yeah.
You were literally like, you stomped on him. Do that again.
Well, he's screaming now. He's running toward him.
I
also liked Rocket more in this movie.
Yeah.
Rocket also got layers. Mm-hmm. Because so many characters in the first movie, I could just kind of play him up as like an egotistical captain. Bitchy sidekick, crazy gun-toting sidekick, crazy rage-filled sidekick. Well, but in this one, everyone got layers.
But they very much in the first movie did talk about how he didn't know what he was. Mm-hmm. Like, he was just some sort of experiment that got tossed away, and, you know, and that was why he was the way he was. Like, so, I mean, it was in the first movie. They just didn't.
I think a part of the reason that I like this one more is because it's the Ghostbusters theory, but for Ghostbusters 2 that Hunter's put out before, is that since they're already a team now, you don't have to spend all that time letting them get to know each other, stuff like that.
Right.
Now you can see them actually bonding and, you know, being more than just being thrown together.
And that was one of the problems that I had with the second Avengers movie is because, and what I feel like I'm
Was that Ultron?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I'm going to have a problem with the third Avengers movie. Is there was, you know, oh, well, Tony did this thing, so now we're all mad at each other, but then they come together and work as a team. And now, oh, Tony and Cap had a fight, so now they're all mad at each other, but here's a big threat, we gotta come together and fight. Or especially, you know, when it's going to be introducing this whole new group of people in the Guardians with the Avengers, that's gonna be a fight scene that is going to be cool to see, but just feels unnecessary.
It feels like it's just like, look how much money we could throw at the screen at once.
Yeah.
Whereas the Guardians, I feel like it's going to be hard to top the camaraderie that they really expressed in that movie with each other. And even the way that the side characters became important, like Nebula, how she became a good guy more or less made sense. Or how Yondu became a good guy more or less made sense. Like, it didn't feel forced. It felt natural.
And again, and even in the first movie, like him fighting with Star-Lord, like, and like clearly they did not hit the whole like father-son relationship nearly as hard.
They planted the seeds in the first
they
movie.
They did. And like, and you know, there were parts of it there.
So it didn't just come out of nowhere.
So it always made sense that Yondu wouldn't want to just outright murder.
Right.
Quill.
Yeah.
So.
I can't say enough good things about Guardians. I didn't even want to go see it.
Yeah, he didn't. I had to make him.
Yeah, she made me. Her and Lindsay. What did you think of the movie, Allie?
I loved it. I mean, I'm biased, so I love Baby Groot.
No one has taken away that Baby Groot wasn't cool. I liked Baby Groot, too. I did not like the opening scene for that reason.
I think the opening scene, they wanted a scene to where they could do opening credits because they have a very big interest in 80s, where they had opening credits in every movie.
Legally.
Since then, died down. There are not as many movies that have big opening credit scenes. And so they wanted something where they could have a background with the opening credits.
And I get it. And like, you can't show that whole fight during the open scenes because it's going to be hard to pay attention to it. But if you have a centralized character like Groot running around, you can pay attention to him, know something that's happening in the background. And I get why they did it.
And it's like Dalton mentioned that it's also similar to the opening song in the first movie with Star-Lord dancing through the cave. Around. But the counter that I made was... But there was nothing in that cave.
not like, a huge
it's
battle.
Fine to just focus on him dancing because that makes sense with his headphones in, whereas Groot is dancing to music in a speaker that's now across a platform with a giant space battle that I would very much be interested in seeing happen.
My question is, if it's a baby Groot and he's in the way, why did you bring him?
Like I said before, because Rocket's not going to let him be alone.
Yeah.
That is a bad parent. You don't bring your toddler to a space battle. I don't care. If you love him, you leave him
at
home.
Rocket's not a parent. Rocket is...
A trash panda.
He's a sidekick. Is that better?
It's much, much worse.
So much worse.
He's... They're almost more family than the rest of them, Rocket and Groot. And I think him kind of being baby-like in the movie shows that even more. Because in the first movie, when Groot's huge and can do all these things, you can see a need that Rocket would have for him. But whenever he's a baby and he still cares for him that much...
Yeah, but I don't know why you would bring him to this giant monster space battle. I mean, I just
because they're a team. Like, no, I mean it's one of those. It's one of those things where it's just you just that it's the suspension of disbelief.
Well,
like,
not
you
only
just
that,
gotta...
but Rocket, even in this movie, clearly shows a pattern of making bad decisions.
Yeah.
Until Yondu finally calls him out on it. Mm-hmm. You know, and I really like that too. Yondu and Rocket Raccoon, everything was good. Everything was good. I really liked it. And if you're listening to this and you haven't seen it, well, we spoiled it for you. Go see it anyway.
Yeah.
Also, go watch the new trailer for It. It came out. The second one came out today.
Did it?
Yep. Did you see it?
Yeah,
you were there, right?
Okay.
I don't remember because you were asleep on the couch.
I wasn't asleep. I was resting because I had to be up at like 7 this morning so I could go to my final.
Yeah. Anyway, we're going to be back tomorrow with Pro Wrestling Unscripted.
Yes.
My throat's actually getting sore talking now. I'm not making this up. Like, it hurts to talk and swallow. Yeah, I don't have anything. tomorrow we're going to talk about Stride because you guys went to Stride over the weekend.
Yes.
I wish I'd gone to the show because we got a new champion.
Yes.
From what I understand. We'll give you the full rundown tomorrow on that. There is some news coming out of WWE. We got some injury news. We got a lawsuit to talk about. A
lot of injury news.
Yeah. None of it good.
Nope.
Never is.
It never is, but this is especially just like, ooh.
So we'll be back tomorrow with that. Myself, Asa, Allie, and Dalton. Until then, guys, you know, take care of yourself. Go see Guardians of the Galaxy if you haven't already. But why'd you listen to this if you did? And if you can find a way to watch the first episode of Channel Zero, let me know.
I thought you were going to say Birds of Prey.
No, I've got the DVD set.
Do you really?
I really do. Birds of Prey, I do. But I've been trying to watch this Channel Zero show that came on Sci-Fi, Candle Cove, because now that I've seen like more previews for it, I'm like, I really want to watch it. We tried to watch it, but it came on the same time that stupid ass American Horror Story came on, which is terrible, and I'm not watching it ever again.
Okay, you're the one that brought up watching the last season.
But for whatever reason, I have Sling. And it has the whole thing on demand, right? Every episode plays, but the first episode, it constantly loops. I can't watch it.
I can't watch FX Now on my Chromecast anymore.
Ugh.
For whatever reason, like it'll load, it connects. It'll load, it'll do the little splash of like, okay, so here's how long the episode is, here's your thing, here's where the ad breaks are, and then it cuts to black.
Yeah, that's what this does.
So I don't know if it's a problem with Sling or if it's a problem with Chromecast
I don't know what it is. Also, I watched the first episode of Constantine for the first time.
Oh yeah,
I liked it.
It's good. I mean, it's very supernatural light.
That's what I like, and Constantine's really cool.
Yeah,
that's another show for another time. We gotta get out of here. Take it easy, guys. We'll see you tomorrow with Pro Wrestling Unscripted.